Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do, and you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany
and this Queen Crazy, your girlfriend, the bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Erica, and you're giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh to Dine, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off the these clowns.
I got in it too deep. Devil was
worshiper, that is my word, this is my life story. What you see, I'm still broke, still I think there is hope. Laughing at a buster, think he better me, cause he ran up home. Don't you know I stand alone, fighting for my soul back. Fiending for some weed, like a junkie, fiending for some crack. Running with a wolf pack, packing automatic gas. Got me on the wrong track, feeling like I'm lost in trap. Now I'm down and on my knees, begging me for mercy. Heaven's got a soul to me, Lord, please won't you set me free. It's a worldwide panic and you suckers can't stand it, so you niggas take nuts, motherfucker. It's a worldwide panic. It's a worldwide panic. It's a worldwide panic and you suckers can't stand it, so you niggas take nuts, motherfucker. It's a worldwide panic. 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 It's a worldwide panic.
Yes, that's the Royal Wolf. Yes, Lord.
Young Swerve,
I'm Swerve. I'm about to have him signing over there.
make your body go no. With my drums go rum, bum, 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 bum. I'm caught up forever being and full of doom. I'm gonna make it as I come. Never for long, but I don't give up no. Watch me fucking do with this taking loose. Bodies don't come bruised in a break. Then I take your ashes, naughty just like this. And they say, stand why you so evil, man. Why you full of hate? You should pray. He'll take it away. Fuck you, hold you late. There's a way, cause you need to stay. Get up at my face, I replace your resistance here. About you feeling guilty, but I doubt it, cause your actions speaking different. What the fuck, now you plead the fifth. Think your shit gon' see what's done and done. It's gon' come to the light, forgive this. Fuck it, there was never peace. You didn't piss me off, nah. You don't wanna see me get stupid or finish, bitch. Nah, 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 nah. I can get dumb, dumb. Make your body go numb when my drums go rum, bum, 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 bum. You didn't piss me off, nah. You don't wanna see me get stupid or finish, bitch. Nah, 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 nah. Can get dumb, dumb. Make your body go no, no. When my drums go rum, bum, 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 bum. I am lost, I am lost. I'm seeing visions of bloody bodies and coffins. A district of your nose, they can coordinate it. I'm the dog in coordination. A soulless reflection. Cryptosthesia. Divine devilish inspirations of scanned man's conscience.
Welcome to my world.
Death is a solution. They call upon an FLM. Yes, me too will be losing my logic's undeniable. Just like a parable. Inbred teachings to be cannibal. Hannibal wrecked up. Then I flipped up. I red shot, but shot. Then bodies drop blade. You didn't piss me off, nah. You don't wanna see me get stupid or penis, bitch. Nah, 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 nah. I can get dumb, dumb. Make your body go numb when my drums go rum.
Back seat. The system is booming, so niggas cannot hear your ass.
Yeah, we at episode number 396 of the Most Lives and Direct Show on the streets, on the internet, off the cuff radio. I'm your host, King Eric the Great, and we got a special guest on the line, man. This guy here, he's been putting it down for the Memphis scene for almost 25 to 26 summers. And you know the cold part is? He's just really getting started, man. He used to rock out with the Three Six Mafia, the Killer Klan Clays, and now he has his own imprint called Nephilim Records, and he's on the line right now, man. Scam Man, where you at, brother?
What it do, homie? Eric, what you got going? Appreciate y'all for having me on, man. I apologize for being late.
Hey, man, it's all good. Matter of fact, I got to take some blame, too, man, because I put the I put the wrong date on the calendar.
It happens, man. It happens. It's all good.
Yeah, because what happened was I put the date from I accidentally had my calendar from 2018, and I put that date down instead, and it got mixed up. So I was like, hold on, what's going on here? Because I sent the flyers out. And I was like, oh, no, I got to we got to work this thing the best way we can.
No, because I was in there mixing, and then I saw you hit me up. You were like, hey, we finna go on. I'm like, I thought we were supposed to be doing the 30th.
So I'll let you guys know out there in radio land, that happens, man. That happens to the best of us, man. But we're glad to have you on, man. You've been having a lot going on since the last time you guys was on last year. So tell us what's been happening with you.
Man, we just been working, man, working hard, man. We got a new compilation from the Gritty Drop, Nephilim, Fallen Soldiers, consisting of my artists and a couple more other people. You know, I got a couple more features on there, like Frazier Boy, Gangsta Nip, you know, 689 Crew. Don Blow, Mob Boss Hussein, it's Reezy, Total Chaos, it's Fresh. And so, man, we just been working hard with this project right here because we feel this project is really going to tip off some things for us in our career.
And the first single you got out, man, Numb Out, how the public been responding to that so far?
Man, they've been loving it. They've been showing me some real love on it. They've been showing me some real love. They feel like I done took it back to the old days, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, if that's how they feel, I love it. But I've been getting a good response.
Go ahead.
Much love.
And the video been hitting hard, too, man, because it's like y'all bringing back that old Memphis energy, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Mike. I can't get away from it. You know, it's what made me. So I got to stick with it. You know, like if something comes to working, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's the formula, man. And you know what's crazy is that y'all been in this for almost 25 summers, just like I said earlier, man. So for those who just coming in and just pretty much tapping in, because we have a different audience since we last talked. Tell us about where you came from, man. Like growing up in Memphis.
I grew up in South Memphis, you know, one of the gutterest parts in Memphis, even though Memphis got a lot of gutter parts, but I'm from South Memphis, Riverside. I grew up in Third World off of Dwight, you know what I'm talking about, and came up mm-hmm. under 3-6 and branched off from them, started the Kazi with me and Mac. And now here I am now with Nephilim Music, with a whole new roster of people, a whole new movement going.
So going back and talking about that time when you was putting that group together, man, how did y'all form the Killer Klan Case?
At first we was all 666 Mafia. We was all one big ass group. I mean, me, Paul, Juicy, Skinny Pimp, Gangsta Black, Fly. It was about 30 of us. So once we got to the point to where we started learning things about the business, we knew we couldn't make no money with 30 niggas in one group. So, you know, we started splitting up, you know, the roster. And that's when Paul and Juicy decided to make me, Mac, and K-Rock a group, the Killer Klan Kazi, at first. Then we got switched over to the Kazi because we didn't want to use the name Killer Klan.
Mm-hmm.
For commercial purposes.
Yeah, because Cause yeah, cause y'all had like about 40 niggas up in that. I was like, y'all had Player Fly, y'all had Kingpin, Skinny Pimp, y'all had you guys, the 3-6 themselves. It was like how Wu-Tang did with the Splinter Cell groups.
Yeah, we was deep. We was deep. We had a roster of a whole bunch of talented people from Memphis, man.
And not to mention, those Memphis tapes that y'all put out, those underground tapes, man, shit. Y'all used to go slam on them, man.
Man, those were the days. Like I say, that's what made us. You know what I mean? You know, going around from hood to hood, slanging them tapes out the trunk. You know what I'm talking about? It gained us a lot of respect. Gained us a lot of haters in the midst of it too, but you know it helped us form a groundwork to actually get our music out here and to reach the people that needed it to be reached to. So that's where it all began, them underground days, them tape days. Wasn't no CDs then, strictly tapes.
And your style, man, your style, you have a very unique style, man. Like, how did you come together and putting that together, like, and form your own flow?
Man, it's just all about the mood I'm feeling, what I'm feeling, what I'm going through at that moment, what I want the song to represent. And it's basically, man, I just do my thing, man. You know, I just, cause I'm a writer. So, you know, I just write, you know, I do poetry. So I just do a whole lot of writing. I do a whole lot of reading. You know what I'm talking about? I research, I study. So whatever I speak about is something that I have researched and dug into. So I don't speak about nothing that I don't know nothing about. So that's basically where my style comes from, man. It just comes from a place that, you know, once I hear a beat, whatever, like I say, however I'm feeling, that's the way it comes out.
Now, hold on. I got my co-host T-Max on the line right here. T-Max, you on board, too? We got the legendary Scam Man in the building.
For T-Max, what's going on?
Sitting on this special award.
Scam Man, what it do, man? Great to have you with us, man. What's going on?
Man, I'm good. I'm blessed, bro. How you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. I was just listening to what you and King were talking about the independent hustle in terms of when y'all were manufacturing the music, you know, slinging the tapes out, and, you know, especially your writing process in terms of making sure it's all authentic. And the whole essence of your enterprise from your movement when you started, man, is like that's exactly what it is. It's the epitome of, you know, self-starting, you know, hard-earned hustle, man, you know. And, you know, like you said, the groundwork is – which some artists don't understand, is that you got to get out there and you really got to get on the grind in terms of really understanding how you're going to connect with the people, from your marketing of product to how you, the type of music that you make, man.
Exactly.
And that seems to be something you've always, that seems to be a tenacity, you know, that you've always kept. What's kept you motivated all these years in terms of still, you know, adhering to that principle and pushing forward with it?
Well, for one thing, the love for music. You know, music is in me till I die.
Mm-hmm.
And then for one, and then for two, life. You know, life shows you so many things. And people don't know how to express it. Some people express it through violence. Some people express it through happiness. Some people express it through so many ways. So I use my life experiences and things that I go through to try to help motivate other people, because there's a lot of people who hit me up and be like, man, look, yo, this song right here helped me go through some dark times. And most people might think the song is talking about devil shit, but to somebody else, it puts them in a place to where it helps them out. It's just like what Jesus had to do. Jesus had to go in the midst of the sinners in order to save them. So that's kind of how I'm doing it. That keeps me motivated, especially when a fan or somebody hits me up and they say my music is actually helping them, or help them through this, or help them through that. So it keeps it going. keeps me going.
And you guys' style is just very hypnotic, from the way y'all rap, from the way y'all production is. Y'all know how to loop those samples. Hence the Hypnotized Minds concept name. Like, it's very hypnotic how you guys, cause, you know, pick those beats, then, you know, layer them a sort of way.
I appreciate it. You know, that comes from watching, you know, a lot of scary movies and shit like that. You know what I mean? And I must give props to Paul and Juicy, you know, because I watched them cats, you know what I'm talking about, like, rigorously. Them cats, I'm talking about, I watched them, you know what I'm talking about, as they was producing, as they was making those beats, what they was doing, what type of sounds they were using, why they was using type of sounds. Why I sit there and watch Paul on a W30, an old keyboard. I sit here and watch him chop up samples and make the sample sound like it wasn't even the original sample. You know what I mean? So they invent that style along with, you know, DJ Squeaky and, you know, DJ Fila and DJ BK and other producers, Memphis producers that, you know, that hasn't got really heard of or that's underrated, you know what I mean? So, and then plus Memphis has a real dark history, you know what I mean? So.
Definitely. You got, when you talk about Memphis.
Yeah.
Go ahead, King. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that one beat that made me, like, kind of lose my shit was when they flipped the Phantasm beat, you know, the movie Phantasm.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, one of my favorite movies.
Golly, man, I ain't never heard nobody at that time, because we weren't really exposed to a lot of the Memphis music. It was more so East and West, and a lot of the Bounce South at the time. When you guys came out with certain different layers and samples, it was just crazy and mesmerizing. But Phantasm, that caught me off guard.
Appreciate it.
I know how y'all.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you look at a lot of the hoods out there, in terms of when you look at, you know, a lot of neighborhoods there, when you look at, you know, Parkway Village, when you look at the Shelby and Fraser, when you look in at, you know, Ridgecrest, when you looking at, you know, McMillan, you know, Midtown, Whitehaven. You know, what's the, you know, how does a lot of those neighborhoods, like, really influence the sounds and the overall aesthetics to what Memphis hip hop really brings?
I mean, those hoods did, I mean, they do a lot, you know what I mean? Because for one, it's a lot of poverty people in those neighborhoods that support, because a lot of us came from those neighborhoods, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the neighborhood, when they see somebody from their hood make it, they feel like they made it too as well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they support you and they backing you and they behind you, and you still can go to your hood without having any problems, you know what I mean? That's a real good thing. So, yes, the neighborhoods influence our music like a hell of a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, with such the history y'all have with guys like, you know, Yo Gotti, Al Capone, you know, I believe Crime Boss is from there as well. Yeah, man. I mean, what, you know, Gangsta Pat, you know, what's it, you know, did you all cross paths growing up, or was you all had divergent, you know, paths, but eventually y'all would come, you know, meet up eventually?
No, we all crossed paths, like, a lot. I mean, because, you know, we had clubs down here, you know, like Studio G, Club 380. That was, like, where all the spots, where all the underground artists would gather at, you know what I mean? Because Juicy J used to DJ up there, DJ Fila, who I very, very first started with, rest in peace. That's where I first started with. He used to DJ up there. So that's how I used to get my records played in the club. And that was one of the hottest clubs back then to be in. You know what I'm talking about? With Club Great. So, yeah. those clubs influenced us a lot. It made us, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not to mention y'all introduced that hypey crump era. Like y'all brought it from the South, man. Because you know they had Onyx, you had MOP, they came out with the hype music, but you guys, y'all came out with something I would call riot music, man. Like, what was it like one of those times when, you know, y'all, how many riots y'all caused with that music?
Man, if you gave me a dime for everyone, I'd be a rich man. We caused a lot of fights in the clubs. I mean, there were times, man, before the song even gets started, we couldn't even get the show started. They were shutting it down already. And most of the times we couldn't even, promoters didn't even want to book us, or clubs didn't even want to book us just because of their reason. And then most of the time they had to take out insurance in order for us to come to their club. Extra insurance.
Oh, Lord.
We were just some young wildcats, man, doing what we do, loving what we doing, and we was in the moment, and we was enjoying it.
Because I remember when I first heard of y'all, it was like I saw a commercial. Y'all, it was for the Chapter 2 World Domination album, and it said this song, Tear the Club Up, has caused riots all over, the most controversial record to come out at its time. And did you guys get a lot of flack from also the religious community because of you're doing the devil references and all that stuff?
Oh, man, we got that through our whole career. I still get that now. You know what I mean? That's not gonna never go nowhere. You know, that's always gonna, people gonna always ask that question. You know what I mean? I get that question all the time, and people always think we were devil worshippers. But no, we wasn't devil worshippers. We just used to do devil shit. You know what I mean? And that's all of us. You know what I mean? All of us done that. And what I mean by that is, if you're going out here, if you're robbing, if you know what I'm talking about, stealing cars, whatever it may be, you know what I'm saying? Whatever sin you may be doing, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You hanging with the devil at that. You hanging with the devil at that moment.
Yeah, man. But you know, especially when you watch that, because I remember, reading the Source magazine in the early '90s. And I read about 3-6. And I was like, this is like right. This is like when they were like kids coming into the game. So this is like to see. But we saw, because it wasn't lost on me with the 3-6, but it's like, but when you saw the poster, the promo for it, it is like, it was just wild, man. Dude on the cross, I think that was, I'm trying to think, was that Paul or Jay that was actually on the cross?
That was Coop the nigga on the cross.
Okay, Kusta was on. Like, Kusta was on the cross. So I was like, well, I'm looking at this. I'm like, yo, what's this right here? I'm in Virginia.
No lie, T-Max. With us being from being up north and everything, I'm like, y'all music got to scare us at first, man, because we didn't know what kind of Pandora's box we was gonna open up.
We were just
some young cats who wasn't scared or afraid to express our thoughts or whatever we was doing at that time. You know what I mean? So
I remember you guys. You came out with when Bone came out with the Ouija Boys, and you guys came out with that. I'm like, these niggas went the extra level with that. We don't know how to react to this. But then once we started listening to the music, we were like, oh, this shit knocks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Now, pretty much as over the years, because that was all, that was some years back, almost 30 years ago from when, because they were really the first to really come to prominence. Well, I take that back. A-Ball and MJG, of course, the year before with a Coming Out Hard album, and we can't forget those legends. But, you know, of course, they would open up that door for what would come, you know, of course, 3-6 would come later. And this is going on 30 years. How have you really seen the Memphis and just the overall Tennessee hip-hop scene, you know, progress during that time in terms of the, you know, in terms of just diversification, more artists coming in and doing their thing?
Ooh, I like the way you said 30 years. it's been good, man. Like artists like Young Dolph, you know, and Yo Gotti, Black Youngster, all these, you know, Key Glock, these young cats that's coming up. You know, I respect what they're doing. They're doing it the independent way. You know what I mean? And they watched what we did, and they took it and added on to it, took it to another level once, you know, all the stream and all this stuff came into play, and you know what I mean? But I respect every artist, every Memphis artist, man, that's trying to do their thing, man. I don't judge nobody for what they do. I'm cool with everybody. I just want to see people be successful, whoever it may be.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's always great to see, you know, a distinguished veteran really bigging up the youngins, because sometimes we don't see enough of that in the game, where you have a lot of the veterans really giving props to the youngins, man. In terms of what artists coming into the game have to understand, Stan, what is the most important thing artists need to know coming into the business of music in terms of their marketing and, you know, getting, you know, the love from their hometown, and then ultimately, most importantly, having longevity in the business?
Number one, before you do anything, is always is 90% business and it's 10% talent. I don't care how much talent you get, how good of an artist you is, if you do not know the business, you will not make it. That's the number one rule I tell anybody. Far as longevity, you have to be built for this type of situation. The music business is not for everybody, you know, because you hear of a lot of artists going crazy and a lot of artists is going stupid, just doing stupid shit. And
right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just stress to them, really learn your business. Watch who you have around you. Put you a team in place, because you can't do everything. You know what I mean? Put people
Preach.
In place.
Preach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put people in place to do things that you can't do, so you can free you up to do what you do. You know what I mean? So, and I can't stress one more time, watch who you keep around you, because it's always the closest person to you, the one that's fucking you. So really keep you a good team around you and watch who you got around you.
And one thing you said too, Scan, that really resonates is the mental aspect, the mental health aspect, because like you said, we have seen so many artists over the years, you know,
go through it.
I believe Dave from De La Soul, Pop Dunos, I think he actually had a nervous breakdown at one point. The artist Houston, who had that song I Like That, I think he gouged his eye out. You know, you see a lot of these, the mental, you know, where do you think a lot of those issues come in terms of the mental stress and taxing on the psyche of artists? And how important it is in the industry to maintain for artists when they know they're near the end of their rope and they're getting burnt out, that they need to have counseling, they need to, you know, therapy, or just most importantly, take that time off when they need it for themselves and not be bound by financial pressures?
Well, for one, if you're an A-list artist, you know what I mean, things are going so fast that you're not even thinking about, you know what I mean, what's gonna happen. You know what I'm talking about? Only thing you know, you're going with the motion. You know, you, You from city to city, state to state, doing show to show, interview to interview, this to that, this to that, and all of a sudden, bam, you wake up and you're in the hospital. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm glad I had enough time to grow in the industry. I had my time to go through my ups and downs when I was younger, you know what I'm saying, compared to now. Because, see, I know how to deal with certain situations. I know how to deal with certain people. So, and I know how to conduct business the right way now, you know what I mean, because I know the business now. So it's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
So you're making that transition, man. Like, how was it? How is it like making that transition from an independent artist to a CEO of your company?
It's I've been a CEO for 20 years now. You know, I mean, Max started Kamikaze back in 1999. So making that transition was a big transition, because now I have to wear two hats now. I have to be an artist and I have to be a CEO. You know what I mean? So I had to step out the artist side for a minute. I had to get my head into the books. I had to learn the CEO process. I had to learn how CEOs conduct themselves, how the business is supposed to be run, what's the role of a CEO, what I need to be doing on a day-to-day basis, and all this old kind of stuff. So making that transition, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard at all. It was a challenge, put it that way. It wasn't hard. It was a challenge. It was a fun challenge, put it that way, because I love challenges.
And that goes to show, man, you got to hit the books, because a lot of people, they come in, they want to learn through the trial and error. I mean, you're going to make mistakes because that's a new venture. But you got to hit those books. You got to learn by from the mistakes of your predecessors.
Exactly, because you'll never know what it feels like to be a leader until you're lost. You know what I mean? So until you lose, you'll never know what it feels like to win, to really win, until you lost.
Especially when you start seeing the changes of how marketing and merchandising has to come with digital, with everything going digital and everything. And has it benefited you guys? Because, you know, it seems like it's easy to get your merchandise out there now.
Yeah, it's real easy. I mean, the only thing you got to do, man, is build your website, get you some good quality products that you, may feel people would like. And if you get real good core fans, you know, they'll go to your site and, you know, and buy. You know, these days has made it real good as to far as like cutting out the middleman and getting direct to the consumer. You know what I mean? Because that's what fans really love. Back in the day, fans couldn't get to their favorite artists. They couldn't talk to their favorite artists and all this other kind of stuff. But with social media now, you know, only thing they got to do is just hit you up in your messenger. Hey, boom, they talking to you. So, you know, the way things are going now with streams and downloads, it's an all right game. But in the end, you know, you have to really, really push a lot of streams in order to really, really, really make money. So that's why I tell artists, don't never rely on stream money. You know what I mean? Because you're only getting a half a cent on stream money.
Man,
It can work, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it can't work. It can work, because a lot of people are getting paid off it. But you have to you just can't rely on just putting out your music and then, okay, I'm going to do a million streams. No, you got to do your footwork, your groundwork. You got to get your marketing together. You got to get your promotion together. And you have to get this together, like, you know, months in advance before your album even drops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, Scan, and King remembers this because we always talk about this. This is one of my most memorable shows. Shout out to Young Khan, the Don from St. Louis, when I'm still blown away, and that show was 2 years ago, when Khan broke down like
the math, he broke down the mathematics behind streaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the way he wrote, but the way he
and
broke
the way
it
he
down,
broke it down was just was crazy.
Yeah, and what he said, Scan, really, you know, is the confirmation of what you said. It co-signs it because a lot of times everybody is looking to get their song played and they look at streaming. You know, King and myself, obviously we're dinosaurs in the game, you know, because we still love the physicals. We like the idea of being able to access our music in a way of we can just buy it, which we don't mind doing because we love to patron the product of our favorite artists from any genre. But a lot of times what you have are younger artists today who look at streaming as an expedited way of moving, albeit it is not the most efficient way. Like you said, you can make money off of it, but it's just going to take a little longer for that money to start to really pile up in terms of when you do streaming. How important is it, do you think, for physical copies to still be a part of the sales merchandising in terms of making moves with it?
I mean, I think they should bring CDs back because, like I say, it cuts out the dollar figure. You know what I'm talking about? You take yourself from a dollar figure all the way down to a half a penny. You know what I mean? Which is like, what the hell? But, you know, I don't judge the streaming industry or I don't knock anybody who streams music. You know what I mean? But in the end, you know, it hurts the artist because in order for you to even actually just receive some money from streaming, you know, you have to do a million streams would get you probably about in between $3,000 to $4,000. So and it's all about, you know, you gotta get on these playlists, you gotta get on certain playlists, you know what I'm saying, in order to get your streams up to where they need to be in order for you to start monetizing off of it. So I feel like I say I'm from the Stone Age too, and you know I still own CD, and like when I get through mixing a song, I burn the song to a CD and I listen to it on a CD. I don't burn it to a, you know, I don't send it to my email then Bluetooth it to my car. Now I listen to it through a CD because that's what I'm used to. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
I wish they would bring, I mean, as a matter of fact, they had a couple of talks about bringing CDs back and about doing away with streaming. They're just,
I look at it like this, man. If they bring back the flat tops and the baggy jeans, CDs are going to be back within another 2 years.
Man, I'm trying to tell you right now.
Hey,
cause I still own plenty of CDs.
We all do. I mean, and when you look at it,
it's
going to
come back.
You know, yeah, and I mean, especially when you look at how LPs over the past, even going back 10 years, you know, I'm mad at myself because, there's a record store out here I go to. Shout out to DJ's Records and Video in Norfolk on Tidewater Drive. I still go there to this day, you know, and this is like 10 years ago when they have vinyl like for $10, because this is before like vinyl really started jumping again. And I'm mad because I missed out on some records that when you go on eBay right now, I think Fabulous's Street Dreams, I think that's going for like close to 100 on vinyl on eBay. Sauce Money's Middle Finger You, I think that's going for like over 100 on vinyl. Even with cassettes. Somebody's selling the Bloods and Crips Banging on Wax on eBay for $200 with a cassette. And don't get me started on the original Raekwon Purple Tape from 1995, how much somebody's selling that for online. Like, unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, these are like jewels, you know what I'm saying? And they are part of it. It's like, You know, and it's crazy to think about it. Just over a 10-year span, how much that stuff has jumped, because some of that stuff you can't even find anymore, depending where you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't find it. Can't find it. So that's why when you do find it, you'll catch a price around $300-$500 for it.
Man, look. You was not lying. I was on eBay last week, and I saw the Outkast album for Speaker Box Low Below on cassette. That thing was going for $450.
Jeez.
And they getting every bit of it.
That's why Andre ain't rapping no more. That's why he ain't got a rap.
I'm trying to tell you, you just sell your old catalog for us. Shit quadruple what you was selling it for when it was out. And just sit back and live.
Jeez.
Yeah, but I mean, and when you look at great guys like Griselda, you know, shout out to Vinny Conway, Westside, you know, Armani Caesar, Boldy James, Ricky Hyde, that whole BSF Griselda clique. But when you look at how they started merchandising, I can't forget, you know, Keisha Plume and Tiana Denise. You know, but when you look at the merchandising that they've done with the Buffalo Kids, you know, between, you know, the Buffalo Kids clothing line and then when they, you know, put out their own merch, I mean, that stuff is like some of those CDs that, you know, Westside, Conway, Benny and them put out for their albums and CDs and even cassettes because they put it out in limited runs. And some of that stuff is going for like, I think like some of the color vinyls going for like $400 or $500. Their stuff is legendary because when they do shows, it's like they literally almost sell out all of their merch whenever they do shows. You know,
exactly.
It's like
those physicals, my brother.
You can only get
people,
it from them.
Exactly.
Now going on, man. You go. You know, you did the group projects. You did the Time's Up joint that came out in '98. I want to talk to you about your solo projects, man. I'm like, which one of your solo projects that you hold a dear to your heart?
I would say Tainted Portraits. Tainted Portraits and maybe Rage of Innocence, too. That's for the simple fact what I was going through during that time when I was making those albums. So I would say those albums right there would be dear to me.
And I played one of the songs, Worldwide Panic, and y'all, it was like you spoke ahead of the times, man, because you seen what's happening now with the world, so you was ahead of the curve when it come to that.
I appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. Like I say, man, I keep my head in some books, man. I stay reading, man, and I try to keep my brain elevated and, you know, focus on different higher things, you know what I mean? So, like I say, at the moment, man, it was that's what I was feeling at that moment. So, like I say, that's what came out of me at that moment.
Yeah, and what's it like to pretty much be that prescient in terms of your putting down the poetry, kind of seeing everything kind of come, kind of unfold now the way, you know, from when you first penned it, and now you kind of see it kind of coming out like you wrote it down. What was that like?
Can you repeat that? You was kind of cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, what was it like from when you were penning, you know, what you were penning seemed prophetic and prescient in terms of what's happening today? How did that feel to kind of see everything reveal itself like you had kind of initially wrote it?
I mean, it was humbling. It felt good to not to say like I'm a prophet or somebody who can see into the future, but you know, when you put something down that's from your heart and from your soul, and years later you start seeing it unfold, you know, you got to ask yourself, there's a higher power at work. You know what I mean? So it's not so much as of me. I was very humbling to the situation.
Definitely, definitely. In terms of hip-hop, do you see a more, do you think we're going, because at one point when we look at where it was years ago in the 80s and even early 90s, there was a very heavy social conscience in terms of, while there was gangster rap, there was a lot of social commentary as well. Do you think as a culture, as a music, we're getting kind of getting back to that element in terms of social awareness and speaking up about social issues?
Yeah, I think from the times that we're living in now and things that are going on, we have more rappers that are, I would say that came up back like when I came up, you know what I mean? So they're like coming back and speaking some knowledge to try to get these young folks to understand and see what's really, really going on, because it's not all about, you know, the flashing and the, you know, the cars and the jewelry and the bitches and this and that. You know what I'm talking about? Excuse my French, don't mean to cry with the bitches, but some of them are. But just keep going. It's crazy to see, man. It's crazy to see.
Yeah.
Especially with the video that y'all put out last year, y'all was covering on a lot of the riots as well with the We Lit video. That was a hype ass song, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. And like I say, that was one of those songs that at the moment that's what we was feeling. That's what we felt like we needed to touch on at that point in time, because it was a lot of stuff going on, the George Floyd situation, and you know what I'm talking about. It was a lot going on, so we felt that we, you know, had to play a role in that movement. And by us, the role that we play is through our music and through our visuals.
Yeah. And more importantly, when y'all go into the concept of shooting videos, the treatment that you give your visuals, what's the most important element that you all think about in terms of when you're about to, you know, do a visual for a song?
Well, first of all, you have to listen to the song, and you have to really make the visuals portray what you're talking about in the song. So if whatever my lyrics are, I try to find locations, set. I try to come up with concepts that involve the videos. A lot of days people do video these days, and it don't, you be like, they don't even go with the song. You know what I mean? So it's all about telling a story in a video. You know, you have to really visualize what story you're trying to tell your audience. So me and my
team,
we get together. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the main key element, man, because I get tired of looking at videos that have nothing to do with the song.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm not knocking them cats. If it's working for them, hey, they got my blessings if it's working for them. But that's not my forte. That's not where I came from. I just don't get a cameraman, tell him to point the camera at me, and I just get to doing what I do know. I actually sit down, I pick out, I write my videos, you know, like Stephen King writes his movies and things like that. I actually write my videos. I write my scenes, I direct my scenes, and you know, I put it in a format to where it can portray to the listener. Because when they hear the audio, it's different. But when they can see the visuals to that audio, it brings it more to life. Puts it more into perspective for them.
And we talked about earlier that you guys were fans of horror movies and things of that caliber. Now, you know, taking this to the left for a little bit, because I'm about to watch this after this interview. Like, have you guys seen the new Saw movie with Chris Rock yet? Because I don't want to waste my time if it ain't good.
No, I ain't peeped it out yet.
What about you, T-Max?
No, I haven't, but I've seen the trailer for it. But I will say this, though. With the way Chris, and shameless plug, because for our listeners, if you have not watched the past season of Fargo on FX with Chris Rock as Lloyd Cannon, you missed out on a treat. Because Chris Rock over the years has really, really developed his acting chops into a legit drama actor. Because Saul, you know, is serious over almost a 20-year franchise. And, you know pretty much Chris's role in that movie is going to be serious. So, but he, if he did anything like he did in Fargo in terms of how he did it at Fargo, it's going to be great. You know, shout out to Chris Rock.
Hope you're right.
I mean, he... but I'm biased because I'm a Chris fan, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm going in because I'm going in like a deer in the headlights, man. And going with what we talking about horror movies, man. Have you ever thought about getting into the movie side of things?
Yeah, I thought about it. As a matter of fact, my manager right now is pushing me toward it right now. So that's most definitely on the table. You know what I mean? Most definitely on the table. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process of writing one. So, you know, but me acting in it, I don't know. But I know I'm in the process of writing one, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's something that's always great in terms of, you know, letting your genius diversify itself into other levels, like you said, in terms of writing and everything else. Because music is just a dimension, one dimension, but when you got a mind that just has so many talents in it, man, it's hard to relegate it to just one aspect when you can, you know, take it in so many different levels of it.
Yeah, but you know, some people just gotta, you know, learn how to unlock their potential, because you know, in the brain, you know, the brain is a powerful tool. You know, it's a lot of shit floating around in that brain. You just gotta you gotta unlock those corridors and find it. You know what I mean? So, and the only way you can do that is train yourself to study and to, you know, learn. I don't care if it's just if I'm in the doctor's office or if I'm getting my oil changed, I just pick up magazines and I just start reading. You know what I'm saying? So, because you never know what they put in the magazine, you never know what you'll learn. So if I see something like that that's maybe be interesting, I go and do further research on it. So, you know, you have to expand your mind. Your mind does not stop. Your mind never stops learning. Long as you put forth the effort.
Especially
yeah,
when it wide spans into different albums and a career lifespan that you guys have put down. That shows right there that the creative flows never leave.
Exactly. I appreciate that. Like I said, I got a love for the music. You know what I'm saying? I love doing it. I love satisfying the fans. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's 2, even if it's 100, you know what I'm saying? If they satisfied, I'm satisfied at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one thing about it, man, it's just great to see you still doing it, you know, because, you know, you really, really, you know, have a story to tell and, more importantly, wisdom to pass down. And we, you know, it's, you know, wisdom accumulated is something that should be passed, you know, this should be spread out and not held. And, you know, that's a you know, you're a blessing for, it's a blessing that you're here to speak with us, and it's a blessing you're here to still give game to those artists out there, man. You know, so it's always great. You know, that's called, you know, it's called being a, you know, that's the definition of legendary status. You've gone through the ups and downs, in and out, and you're here to still tell the tales from the good and bad, and you're still moving no matter what obstacles have been placed in front of you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's, you know, life ain't going to never stop throwing your curveball. You got to learn how to, you know, you got to stay at that batting place. You got to learn how to hit the curveball. You might, yeah. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was talking to somebody else at the house. Yo, go ahead.
No, I said, you just got to stay at the batting plate and just, just keep swinging. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people give up. But you got to keep swinging.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah. But pretty much from all aspects of it, it's from writing to rapping to running a label. I mean, we just think about it. And it's
I was going to ask this, yeah. Is there going to be like a documentary you guys going to come with? Because it's long overdue, man. We want to see the ins and outs of y'all's story.
Yes. That's in the works as we speak. After this Fallen Soldier album drops on June the 9th, we got like 4 videos we didn't shot that we're gonna drop after the album drops, and we're gonna start working on a documentary, a documentary of me and Chaos. Total Chaos. So we got a lot in store, a lot going on right now. So this would not be the last you would hear from us.
Especially with these days you have a lot of these groups get bio films and stuff like that. Gotta be a 3-6 Killer Kami Class with video movie too, man. That the blockbuster.
Kamikaze, Killer Clan Kazi. Well, you know, we have to just see what the future holds, man. You know, we'll never know what happens. You know, as of right now, I don't see it happening because, you know, I'm focused on Nephilim music and I'm focused on my artists. So, you know, right now, you know, I really ain't got time for nothing else right now. Right now, Nephilim is the main focus right now. So, you know, if Paul or Juice or somebody hit me up one day and they want to do something, you know, we can talk. But, you know, until then, you know, I'm moving on with what I got going.
Yeah.
Ain't no love lost. Number love. Nothing personal. Just business.
And that's always something, man, you know, to really... Yeah. Well, go ahead, King.
I was going to say, too, I know you guys are eager to get back on the road, man, get that touring going on, because we all been cooped up for about a good 2 years almost. So, y'all know... Everybody got a lot of energy to let out on these shows.
Look, we got so much energy, it's ridiculous. Man, we just been cooped up in the studio just making music, you know what I mean? So, and a lot of places are opening back up right now, so we starting right now to start getting a little small little tour together for this album, for the Fallen Soldiers album. So, We will be hitting back on the stage. We will be hitting back because it's about time. Because I ain't gonna lie, I'm about to go crazy sitting up in this house all damn day. Cheers.
There's only so much verses in virtual concerts we can do, man.
I'm trying to tell you, man. In virtual concerts is just not my thing, man. I like to be engaged with the people. You know what I mean? I like to be right there in front, up close and personal with the people. I like to engage with them. I don't want to be on virtually online and all that old kind of, you know, it that's cool. But like I say, you know, we from the Stone Age, man. We like to get out. We like to be in the midst of it. You know what I mean? And this virtual stuff has just made a lot of us lazy.
Yeah, but you know, Stan, one thing about it,
quarantine weight.
Yeah. But you know one thing, y'all, and I've said it once and I'll say it again, you know, before the pandemic hit, we took a lot of shit for granted in terms of it. in terms of just being able to go out and do shows and, you know, in terms of seeing everything. And I think people now really understand how much you really need to support artists when they get out there on stage and when they're doing something. You know, it's, you know, the vibe, the atmosphere, there's nothing like having a live performance, you know, and really being with the people and really feeling the excitement. And we've missed that. And I think I would tell anybody, when we're ready to go back outside again, because nature is kind of slowly letting us off on punishment, but I'm like, you know, go out and support people, you know, go to the shows, you know, don't be lazy about where there's artists, you know, out there, go see them, you know, it, and just for when you get older and you think about it, think about all the experiences you had being at those live shows and really interacting with people and having fun. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the one thing I think that's happened with, you know, the modern technology, a depersonalized interactions. And if anything, we learned with the pandemic how important it is for us to be interacting with each other, you know, you know, can nothing replace, you know, everybody being together at one party and having fun. That's what it's all about in terms of hip-hop culture, expression and having fun.
Exactly, exactly.
And, I'm and we dressing will, like an astronaut has not been the business.
What you say? Your phone. You say what now?
I said dressing like an astronaut has not been the business this year.
Uh-uh. You're right on that. You're right on that, my brother.
But I'm glad that hopefully that, just like T-Mac said, this will be eventually over with by the summertime. They can probably get a hold of it, and we can get back to business like we've been doing, man, and going to these shows and supporting guys like you and mingling, man. I think that's what it made people take things for granted. So hopefully that people be more appreciative this time.
Exactly. Well, I feel once things open up, man, I feel people going to get out because, like, you know, people been cooped up too long. I'm talking about too long. And right now, Atlanta, people in Atlanta, they already getting out. They like, fuck it. They doing their thing. They ain't studying it. And so,
man, Atlanta, pretty much that, they never even been on punishment.
Atlanta opened up like a week after.
They never shut down. Looked like it, seemed like it. But Memphis opening back up though. We starting to open back up and get back out. So it's getting back there slowly but surely, man. Slowly but surely.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, we can't wait, man, because this punishment has been driving everybody crazy, man. But you know what, though? You know, it's crazy that you named the album that you got coming out, Fallen Soldiers. And we lost a lot of Fallen Soldiers, man. It's been a rough 3 years, man, from DMX to Black Rob, Shock G, Kobe. It's been a rough ride, man.
Yeah, it's been real crazy, man. And if people ain't waking up and starting to think, like, you know what I'm saying, life is short, you know, I don't know where you at, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we ain't promised another second, another minute, so whatever the time you get, you know, do something with it. Preferably do something positive.
And it also goes to And that's why I reached out to you, man, because even though it's been like a while since we had you on, but, you know, just for the simple fact that we feel that a lot of the legends and the guys that paved the way, they still need to get, you know, smell their flowers while they can smell them. Because you never know.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. You know, anytime you guys want me to come on, man, I'm always, you know, ready to come on. It's always a pleasure, man.
Man, we appreciate you so much for it, man. It's always a blessing to, you know, interact, man. And we always, you know, like we say to all of our guests, we'll say to you as well, we always are appreciative for your time, for your friendship, for your consideration, for your courtesy, man. You know, this is what we do it for. We want to let y'all know,
you know,
we do acknowledge and appreciate y'all.
I mean, you know,
and
we have to take y'all because, you know, y'all take y'all time to, you know what I'm saying, to even interview us. You know, I want to appreciate y'all for having all my artists, you know, Mob Boss and Edge Fresh and Total Chaos, you know what I'm talking about, for having them on, you know what I mean? So we appreciate that love. So, you know, y'all keep us going as well, you know what I mean? Y'all play an influential part in our careers as well. You may not think you do, but you do.
We do our best. We do our best.
and we promise next time we gonna get the flyer correct this time around. I'm gonna do that thing 4 or 5 times before I put it out.
hey, well, look, it's gonna be real soon again. Cause like I say, man, we got a lot of stuff coming up, man. Cause after the Fallen Soldiers album, I gotta drop my Rage of Innocence Part 2 album. And then Total Chaos is going to drop an album, and then we're going to drop a couple of singles from my other couple artists, Mob Boss and S. Reed. So we got a lot of stuff in store, man. A lot of stuff going on. We got Nephilim Apparel. We got Kamikaze Apparel. As a matter of fact, they can go to NephilimMusicStore.com to pick up all merch. We have music, we got merch, we have shoes, we have everything. NephilimMusicStore.com.
Yep, definitely. Now before we sign off and everything, you have any other shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, man, I want to give a shout-out to my whole team, man. My manager, David Sinatra, my right-hand man, Total Chaos, it's Reezy, Mob Boss, it's Fresh. I want to give a shout-out to Frazier Boy, Gangsta Nip, everybody who helped make this project, who showed me love to make this project. I want everybody, first and foremost, and then God of above, the man who is making all this possible. So, those are my shots out, my team.
Most definitely.
And you
most
guys,
man. So we definitely gonna. Dang, most def, man. We gonna definitely keep in touch, cause you know y'all like a second family to us. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
we gonna keep that pushing
it,
that line for y'all.
All right, bro. We gonna keep pushing for y'all too, man. I appreciate y'all having me on, bro.
Definitely, man. Thank you again.
It's all good, my man.
Definitely, man. One love, y'all.
One love, fam. Now for love.
And on that note, we out.